The subject that's on my heart tonight is the subject of calling on the name of the Lord, calling on Jesus, calling on God. It's mentioned in the Old and the New Testaments, and there are people that have called on the name of the Lord, I think, in every generation. I think it's important that we understand that there are a lot of different reasons to call on the name of the Lord. One of those reasons that God's people sometimes call on the name of the Lord is in time of trouble. Whenever they're in difficulty, they call on the name of the Lord. You need to call on the name of the Lord. The Word of God teaches that we're to call on the name of the Lord. There are great blessings that come from calling on the name of the Lord. In fact, there are a lot of times the Scripture talks about whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, that doesn't always have reference to going to heaven when you die. In fact, never has reference to that. But it does have reference to a lot of different things that God's people need to be saved from while they live here in this world. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For example, you remember this morning we looked at the expression where Peter and the apostles were on the ship, and the storm came up, and they cried out. They said, "Lord, save us." Were they calling on the name of the Lord when they said, "Lord, save us"? They weren't talking about saving them from eternal hell to eternal heaven. They were talking about being delivered from the storm and saving their lives from perishing in the middle of that storm. And so in all of our lives, I want to encourage everybody here of the importance of you calling on the name of the Lord. When you're having trouble, you need to understand that it's pleasing to God for you to call on God. Call on the name of the Lord. Cry out to Jesus. Call on Jesus. I would say you need to call on His name, Jesus. Call on the name of Jesus. And when we call on the name of the Lord, I believe that if we have been trying to follow the Word of God and living the way the Word of God teaches for us to live, and then we call on the name of the Lord as we understand the Word of God to tell us to call on the name of the Lord, I believe that you will be saved. I believe there's a salvation that comes to the people of God who are serving God and trying to follow God's Word, and then they call on the Lord. I believe that there is a salvation that comes to them. Peter and the apostles were saved right here. They called on the name of the Lord. Now, they had little faith because they were so afraid of the storm and afraid of dying, and Jesus did rebuke them for having such little faith. He said, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" But they did call on the name of the Lord, and Jesus saved them from that storm. So sometimes we may have little faith, but I still want you to call on the name of the Lord. Call unto Jesus. Call on the name of the Lord. When Stephen, let's begin tonight by looking at Acts chapter 7. Stephen was in the process of being stoned to death, and the first couple of things that we look at is somebody like Peter and the apostles that were in great trouble. You remember when Stephen was in the process of being stoned to death. The Word of God tells us some very specific things that happened while he was being stoned. You look in your Bibles at Acts chapter 7, beginning in verse 54. Of course, you can go back and read 51 through 53, but then verse after Stephen has rebuked these people for their ungodly ways and resisting the Holy Ghost, in verse 54, the Word of God says, "And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth." Now, there was something that I think Stephen had already done. I think he'd already called on the name of the Lord before he ever began to speak to those people. I think that's the reason that he knew exactly what he needed to say to those people, is he had already called on the name of the Lord. I don't think it was this, as we go down, I don't think this was the first time Stephen had called on the name of the Lord. Stephen was a man that was full of the Holy Ghost. And a man that's full of the Holy Ghost is going to be called man, woman, boy, or girl. That's full of the Holy Ghost is going to be calling on the name of the Lord. They're going to be calling on the Lord because he is our helper. He is the one that can help us. He's the one that can deliver us. He's the one that can save us. And so we need to call on the Lord. In Acts chapter 7, now beginning in verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. That was Saul of Tarsus, who later became Paul the Apostle. He was the one that had been motivating and moving for this stoning of Stephen. Now listen to verse 59. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God. Now, it wasn't the people that were calling upon God. It was Stephen that was calling upon God. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Was he calling on the name of the Lord? Was he saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit? The next verse says, and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. That's a beautiful expression there, that he fell asleep. Now, there are two times in this passage of Scripture that he called on the name of the Lord. The first one was, the Scripture says he called on the name of the Lord in verse 59, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Did he want Jesus to take him on home? Did he want relief from the pain and the suffering that he was experiencing? He said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Did he call on the name of the Lord? Did the Lord save him? Doesn't have anything to do with him going to heaven when he died. He wanted release from this world. And he was saved by death, by calling on the name of the Lord. He was saved from the suffering he was going through. And then he called on the Lord in verse 60 and he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Now, brethren, that's an amazing thing that a man would be being stoned to death by people and yet he calls on the name of the Lord for the Lord to not lay this sin. It was sin what they were doing. What they were doing was killing a man of God who had told them the truth. And yet he is praying and calling on the name of the Lord and saying, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. I want you to call on the name of the Lord. Not only when you need help, but I want you to call on the name of the Lord when you have enemies. I want you to call on the name of the Lord to have mercy on them. I want you to call on the name of the Lord to pray fervently that God will help those that might be your enemies. They're enemies of the gospel, but they may be beloved for the Father's sake. I think I have some enemies that are my brothers and sisters in Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are many times that children of God are in error and they're maybe not living right and they hate those that are trying to do what's right and yet they're still God's children. And I want you to pray. I want you to call on the name of the Lord for God to have mercy on them. There are probably some people that have called on the name of the Lord for God to have mercy on you. God, I believe, has had people in my lifetime that have called on the name of the Lord and said, Lord, have mercy on him. So you call on the name of the Lord when you need help, but you also call on the name of the Lord in behalf of other people. Intercessory prayer is very, very important in our lives. To call on the name of the Lord and ask him, help them, Lord. They need help. And even your enemies, Jesus taught us that we're to pray for our enemies. And that's what Stephen did right here. Now, I want to go to another passage of Scripture. It's often misunderstood in the book of Acts. And in order to understand what Peter was talking about on the day of Pentecost, when he talked about those people that called on the name of the Lord, you have to go back to the book of Joel. Now, I want you to follow this carefully, but please look in your Bibles at the book of Joel. The easiest way to find the book of Joel to me is start in Matthew. If you don't know the book, names of the book of the Bible, start in Matthew and you back up about 40 pages, 30 or 40 pages, and you should find Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. You should find those books of the Bible right there together. The little book called Joel, and I want you to listen to what the Word of God says in the book of Joel about calling on the name of the Lord. Joel chapter 2, starting with verse 28. Please notice this. In Joel chapter 2, starting in verse 28 and reading through the end of the chapter, those four or five verses there. Joel chapter 2, beginning in verse 28. This passage is going to tell us something else about calling on the name of the Lord. This is a prophecy. Joel was a prophet. Joel was declaring, there's going to come a day when the Messiah comes. There's going to come a day when the church is going to be established. There's going to come a day when the kingdom of heaven is going to be established. There's going to come a day, and this is the main thing that Joel talks about. If you go home and read the book of Joel, Joel is telling the people of God, the Jews specifically, saying, Jesus is going to judge the nation of Israel. And he's going to destroy the Jews because of their rejection and rebellion of God. Joel writes about that in great detail. It's fulfilled within the first 100 years after Jesus was born. Look at Joel chapter 2, beginning in verse 28. Scripture says in Joel 2, verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days, remember that in those days, will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. Now let me pause right here. Don't have time to go through the whole book of Joel to show you this, but the great and terrible day of the Lord that Joel is speaking about is when Jesus was going to come back and destroy the Jews, destroy Jerusalem, and set up the new Jerusalem, which is the kingdom of heaven. That's the great and terrible day of the Lord that Joel is speaking about here, and you'll see that as we go along. He says, here are some great miracles that are going to happen. Here's how God is going to pour out His Spirit before what happens. Before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. Verse 32 says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, when that terrible day of the Lord shall come, and whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. What does the word delivered mean? Saved. Most of the time in the Old Testament, when the word delivered is used and then it's quoted in the New Testament, the quote will say saved. Delivered and saved means the same thing. And he says, when this great and terrible day of the Lord comes, when God begins to destroy Jerusalem and destroy the nation of Israel, in that great and terrible day of the Lord, whosoever in that day shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm going to read all of 32 and then go to the New Testament and show you the fulfillment of it. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion, you remember we looked at three mountains last week, looked at Mount Sinai, looked at Mount Calvary and looked at Mount Zion. The Word of God says here, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Now, turn to Acts chapter 2, because Acts chapter 2 is a fulfillment of Joel chapter 2. The day of Pentecost, when Peter was preaching, there was a fulfillment of some things that Joel spoke about. Joel said that there were some miracles that were going to happen. There was going to be a great outpouring of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit would be manifest in a wonderful and a marvelous way before the great and terrible the day of the Lord shall come. In Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 14, listen carefully. Acts 2, starting in verse 14, the Word of God says, "But Peter," this is on the day of Pentecost now, "the Spirit of God has been poured out in a mighty way," in the beginning of Acts chapter 2. And then in Acts 2:14, the Word of God says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." Now what does he say in verse 16? He says, this, what's that referring to when he says, this is that which was spoken of by Joel? What is it? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's been done there. He says, this, that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then verse 17 says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord shall come." Do you see what he's saying? He's giving you a clear time reference. This outpouring of the Holy Spirit that happened on the day of Pentecost was going to happen. Joel said it was going to happen. And Peter says, now this is that that's happened. This is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And all this was going to happen before that great and notable day of the Lord shall come. And verse 21 says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Brethren, if you go home and read Matthew 24 and you read Revelation 20, you're going to read about a horrible destruction. In fact, most of Revelation, from Revelation chapter 6 to Revelation chapter 20, is talking about the horrible suffering, the hell that the Jews went through, specifically the hell that Jerusalem went through because God poured out his wrath. Why? Because they rejected Jesus Christ. But there were Jews that believed on the name of the Lord. There were Jews that believed that Jesus was the Christ. And they called on the name of the Lord when all that destruction was taking place. And they were saved or they were delivered because they called on the name of the Lord. And there was a remnant. Joel speaks about it. There was a remnant that was saved. Why? Because they were following Jesus and they called on the name of the Lord. Brethren, the same thing that happened to Jerusalem 2,000 years ago is about to happen in America. And I want to encourage you to do what God told them to do. I want you to call on the name of the Lord when trouble starts coming in your life. Doesn't matter if it's just you and you alone that's having trouble, like Peter that began when he was walking on water on one occasion. You remember when he saw Jesus walking on water and Jesus said, "Come, you want to come? Come." And he went out and he began to see the waves boisterous and he began to sink and he said, what? Lord. What did he call on? The name of the Lord. Lord, save me. And the Lord saved him. So it doesn't matter whether it's you personally or your family. Brethren, you're going to have trouble sometimes in your family, and I want you to call on the name of the Lord. Or the church. You know what the church needs to do? Every time we have a problem, we need to call on the name of the Lord. Why? Because the Lord's the only one that can help the church. And all of our problems, all of our troubles, doesn't matter what the problems are, our help comes from the Lord. Call on the name of the Lord. or if it's a major catastrophe, a hurricane, or if it's a national catastrophe, like America being destroyed, it doesn't matter what the situation is, doesn't matter how big the storm is, doesn't matter how many people are being affected, call on the name of the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Oh, Jesus humbled himself and he came down to this sin-cursed earth. He lived an absolutely perfect life. He finished his work that he came to do. He saved his people from their sins, and then he died, and then he rose again. And Jesus is right now, he is king. He is not just going to be, brethren. Today, Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus is my shepherd presently, and I need and you need to call on the only one who can always help you, and that's Jesus. Because God has given him, Jesus, a name that is above every name. It is better than any other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. And you need to call on the name of the Lord. Now, there's another whole sermon, and I told Teresa on the way to church tonight, I said, I'm not sure what to do tonight, but probably going to be preaching more about calling on the name of the Lord, because I want us to look at Romans 10, and I want us to look at a lot of other passages that talk a great deal about calling on the name of the Lord. But if you don't take the time to slowly go through those passages, you'll get lost and you'll completely misunderstand what's being said. So, Lord willing, either Wednesday night or next Sunday, we'll continue. Or not Wednesday night, it won't be Wednesday night. Maybe next Sunday. But if I live and the Lord leaves me the same mind, we need to look at Romans 10. We need to look at a lot of other scriptures that talk about calling on the name of the Lord. But let me just close by saying this. Listen carefully. You listen. This is very important. Nail this down, mark it down, write it down in a book. Not everybody that calls on the name of the Lord is going to be saved. Brother Neil just quoted Matthew 7:21. Jesus makes this statement. Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And then Jesus gives us the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. And those five foolish virgins, what did they do? Had they heard? Did they know? Did they understand they needed to call on the name of the Lord? And so it is that in Matthew 25, those five foolish virgins, when they were shut out, they said, Lord, Lord, what were they doing? They were calling on the name of the Lord. What did they not understand? Just calling on the name of the Lord is not enough. You've got to be following God. You've got to be a disciple of Christ. You've got to be letting your light shine. You've got to be doing what God tells you to do. And then when you do that and you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. May God help us, is my prayer, to call on the name of the Lord every day for Christ's sake.